19th, 1984. I am interviewing Sue Kendrick and Vivian Hyatt. We are at 104 Woodmore Avenue. The topic is Lou Tate and the Little Loom House. Before we start discussing Lou Tate, both of you all are weavers. You've both been involved with the Little Loom House. I want to know how you all first met.
I don't know. I went to open house and Sue was there.
I guess that was it, but I don't know the date.
I don't know the date either.
It was over 40 years ago. In fact, I would say it's close.
Agnes Scott was teaching a workshop, and I saw it in the paper, and then I went out and Sue was there.
Had both of you all gone prior to this?
No, I hadn't. Sue had. That was my first time.
And Sue Kendrick?
Yeah, I became involved about 1936, possibly 37. But Sam and I came to Louisville in January of 1936. And of course, the first thing I did was look Lou Tate up. And then she and Dr. Mather were working on the loom. And then Sam became involved because he was working for a woodworking company and had tools available. Dr. Mather jokingly said, "I don't have any tools except my dentist tools," but that wasn't true. He had a nice workshop. But made a good joke.
How did you all become, I know that you are friends today. I know you still do things today. Tell me some of the things that you all are still involved in today.
Well, the hobby weavers, for one thing. And just when I'm lonesome, I call Vivian up. I don't know that she ever gets lonely because she has her whole family here and I'm alone. But Vivian and I have always been able to, oh, just be good friends.
But now you just went to visit Brother Kim within the last 2 years, I would say.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that was the hobby weavers.
That was hobby weavers and Fleece and Flax, a group.
Mm-hmm.
And the Homesprun, all of us together.
Oh, that's right. I'd forgotten.
It was all the weavers got together and went.
How many weaving organizations are there in Louisville or Kentucky?
Well,
There's four in Louisville.
And there's one in Frankfurt, because I belong to that one. That's the only reason I know that there's one there.
There's one at Lexington, but I'm not sure what the name is. Well, of course, the Little Loom House is not included in, these are deals we're talking about.
Capital City Spinning and Weaving is the one in Frankfurt. Helped organize 2 years ago.
After that first open house, earlier, I took a photograph of a planter which Vivian Hyatt had given Sue Kendrick. As a result of a birthday, a monthly birthday party that Lou Tate held.
Each month she would have a party and she'd fix a meal and everything. And we'd sit up, put the tables together and decorate the table and, did we take food or not?
Yeah, sometimes we did.
Sometime we took, you know, pot luck.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes Tate made chili.
Yes, she made chili or a one-dish meal.
Big pot of chili.
And then we took little gifts for whoever had birthdays during that month.
Because it would always turn out that somebody had a birthday.
Yes.
Yeah, well, yes.
It was,
We never had a party.
On Saturday, I believe about the last Saturday, maybe night in the month or something like that.
We never had a party unless it was the birthday party.
Oh, so there might be one month when you wouldn't have a party.
Oh, it'd be several months.
Yes, because nobody had a birthday that month.
Mm-hmm.
Some months maybe two or three of them have a birthday, then we'd skip a month.
January was always a big one because it was my husband and Mayor Waters and,
Mine and Mr.
Yeah.
Heimerdinger, was he in?
Yeah. That was all in January. That was a big party.
I bet that was fun.
It was loads of fun. Big same people at parties each time you had them. But it was fun.
And was this Lou Tate's idea?
Yeah.
It was her idea, yes.
Would there be birthday cake?
Oh, yes. It was usually a purchase cake with candles poked into it. And after Martha got to be 4 years old, she was allowed to light the candles. Before that, Tate's little brother would light it.
Oh, so young people would be there too?
Oh, yes. Everybody that was connected to the Loom House would want to come. Was up to you whether you want to come or not.
That's an interesting side to Lute.
Then we usually had the hand-woven napkins.
Yep.
You would use the hand-woven napkins?
Ones they were all different, of course.
No matching.
Different pupils had made.
Oh, so sometimes the students would come too?
Sure.
If they wanted to.
I was considered a student, I guess, when I went the first time.
Well, yeah. Mary was too. Kate's father loved to play bridge. My husband adored bridge. He thought that was the next thing to I don't know what, but he loved to play bridge. And so Mr. Bassman and Sam would play Lou Tate and Mary Waters. And I would type letters or something of the sort, and Virginia would play with my children when they were little.
No, that's fun.
And we got together real often, either here or at the Waters house or at the Loom house.
What years would you say this took place?
Oh, in the 40s. 50s, more likely.
50s because, when I was.
50s, because Sally was born in 48. And Tate has in some of her books pictures of Sally when she was 2.
Oh, yes, we have those pictures.
And Martha when she was 8. Mm-hmm.
What period of, so it was 10 years when you all didn't see each other, you two.
That
and that's when you were working.
Yes,
right,
when
Vivian?
I was working.
And me too.
And you were too.
We were both working. Mm-hmm. We just happened maybe over the weekend run into each other occasionally.
At the supermarket, but not at the Loom house.
No. If we went to the Loom house, it was, if we saw each other at the Loom house during that long period that my girls were real small, it was because both of us wanted to go to some special event.
She had open house or something like that, you see.
Mm-hmm.
You said that Brother Kim had done so much with spinning earlier, Vivian.
Yes, he started that out there. It was the first, I think.
I'm sure he was.
How did she and Brother Kim get to know one another?
I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't know, unless he came out to the Loom house to visit. I'm not sure.
Well, he said when we were over there in August, when what was August a year ago, wasn't it, that we went? That he wanted to learn more about weaving because he wanted to specialize in it. And that was going to be his particular job at the Arch Abbey. And so he apparently contacted Lou Tate instead of the other way around.
That was an important part in her life, though, the coming of Brother Kim.
Yes. Because he brought spinning. Up until that time, she had done, weaving.
Just weaving. Mm-hmm. I don't remember any spinning at all.
I don't either until after Brother Kim came in the picture.
As you look back on these years with Lou Tate, if you had to describe the late 30s, the 40s, the 50s, and the 60s, and the 70s, how would you describe each of those periods of time in her life, your all's activity in it?
Well, they were periods of growth for her, as well as for the rest of us, because she was a person who loved to stick her nose in a book and find out something. And Vivian will tell you she wasn't always very eager to tell you what she had found out.
No, she didn't pass it on.
No.
She was kind of selfish with her information.
But she studied hard, and so she grew and advanced in those years, very much so.
But she didn't pass on weaving knowledge?
Well, it was hard to get anything much out of her. She wanted to keep you coming back. Mm-hmm. So she liked to have people around her all the time.
So she'd hold out little tidbits of information, and then you could, and I used to ask her, why does this thread come up and that one not? Why is it that sometimes when you throw the shuttle through from the right, you have a gap? And other times you do not have a gap. And she said, oh, you'll find out just what you can see for yourself.
Yeah, she was like that.
What do you think it was that kept the people who did come back coming back?
She had so much weaving around and they were so anxious to learn it, you see. That's what kept them coming back.
And her personal magnetism, too. She had
she
a
was
lot
good company.
Of them.
You had a good time with Tate.
She was fun.
Yeah,
yeah, she was a lot of fun. And there was always somebody there when you go out. And then she always had something new because she exchanged, had traveling exhibits and things like that. with the different weavers from over the country, and so you always seen something new each time that you went.
Now, during those years, she taught at Spalding College, because I taught with her one semester before I went back to work. And she taught at, was it Nashville or Knoxville? Must have been Nashville. She taught at Nashville, Tennessee. And she taught at a place in Florida. Don't ask me where, because I don't know. And she taught at various places around, and wrote her books, and her name became known all over. And when the word got out that she had a loom that was suitable for children, because it was sturdy and they couldn't tear it up very easily, why, overseas became a portion of her territory. And
Most people came to Louisville, they'd heard of the Lutetia, you see, and they wanted to come, they always visit her, especially if they were weavers.
And especially at Derby time. Mm-hmm. We always had loads of out-of-state company at Derby time. When people would come in at Derby time, they would come to visit at the loom house. They may stay a half hour, they may come every day for 2 or 3 days just to talk to Lutetia, if not to do anything. She was fascinating for a conversationalist. And she, as Vivian said, you could always talk to her. She always said,
she did so much research. She read continuously. She'd go to the library and just get a whole stack of books. I think she read about a book a night or day.
About, well, it wasn't always on weaving.
No, it was. She liked detective stories, but yeah. Weaving, though, this, all the weaving, she kept up with all of that.
And branch library here in Iroquois always notified her when they had a book in on weaving.
Automatically?
Automatically.
Did she drive in those days?
Yes.
Station wagon.
She had a Willis Overland, and we called him Willie. And she wore Willie out driving to teach at Bowling Green and at Nashville and
Chicago, New York.
Mm-hmm. She went to all the conventions and things. She especially enjoyed Chicago. I have a little shuttle pin that was one of the things they gave her at Chicago. Shall I show you?
I love it.
She was a good friend of Elsie Reinstein. That's a noted weaver, you know. She's still living in Chicago.
And would she be here? Or she would go, she would meet her in Chicago? And
she went to Chicago. She'd go up there for a workshop or something. She used to pile a station wagon full of looms and take some of them along with her. Rose Petero used to go with her quite a bit. I didn't, because, you know.
You had the children and you had your work.
Yeah, I had my work, so I didn't get to go to those places.
Since you had trouble getting information out of Lutetia on weaving, what kinds of things do you remember learning about weaving that you keep with you and use today?
Oh, how to thread a loom, because I threaded Lord only knows how many for other people, as well as threading my own. And I helped with the children's lessons on Saturday. You didn't have time to help with those, did you?
Uh-huh.
That's where Bob got his start, was one of those Saturday Bob Douglas. And he wove, he eventually wove one of the most beautiful sets for, put your plate on,
placemat.
Placemat. And with a runner from the center, and gave them to his mother for her birthday, wove them out of linen. See, Kate could get thread cheaper than we could. And so we would buy our thread from her at what she paid for it, or maybe 1 penny or 2 pennies or something over. She was a philanthropist and wanted to be known as one, did her best to be known as one. She struggled very hard to give away everything that she could to as many people as she could. But the fundamentals of weaving was all she wanted to give away. When it came to the tricky little things, why, she kept those under her hat.
What did you take away with you, Vivian, about learning to weave from Lutetia?
Well, I took the beginner's course, I learned lino lace. That was one thing that I learned from her.
What kind of lace?
Lino.
And what is that?
That's a two-harness technique.
Where you, that's why the point is on the children's shuttle. You pick up two or three threads and stick your shovel in. Can you see what I'm doing?
Yes.
There's a twist. And then you pick up several more over here and make another twist.
Lino.
And that's lino lace, L-E-N-O, lino lace.
You
it would be
that.
Hem stitching with cloth, you see.
Yes, it looks
like
very
that.
Much like hem stitching.
That, so it's pretty, isn't it?
Yes,
beautiful.
It's pretty.
And you, what else did you learn beside that, do you think? You found she was hard to share what she knew how to do.
Well, I really learned how to weave from Bob Landers after I had been
to her. I never went to anybody. What loop tape?
All her information is from Tate Mines from other people and books.
That's which, good, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
See, Sam started helping her with the loom right shortly after we came to Louisville. And so I was tied in with the loom house from the start. But because I was the secretary, or stenographer, whichever you want to say, why, I did typing instead of learning to weave. My children learned to weave before I did.
How did you finally end up learning how to weave?
After Sam's death, I had time enough. Well, after I retired, I had time enough to go over. I retired 2 years before my husband did.
And then did you go to Lou Tate and say, I want to learn how to weave?
Sure. And she said, well, I have some correspondence from way back 6 months that hasn't been answered. And I said, no way. And so I paid for my lessons so that I got them. She was a great hand at, you clean off those shelves and set everything up and get everything in order, and I'll give you a weaving lesson. So, but I paid for mine, so
you just went ahead and paid her money.
You bet I
and
did.
And said, I'm not going to clean up a shelf.
Right.
Here's the money. Teach me to weave.
That's the way I did it.
You're one of the few people who remained with Lou Tate over all the years.
Yeah, we had been friends in college, and I knew her worth. And so when she would get on her high horse and get mad about something, why, I stayed with her. And most of the others just got mad, too.
And
it's two to make a quarrel.
And so some of them formed other groups, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
And tell me how you got involved in some of the other groups.
Well, they started the other groups right after I started there. They invited me to come to the meeting, and I went.
And what was the name of this?
Hobby Weavers.
Hobby Weavers of the Ohio Valley.
Mm-hmm. And was Landers in that group?
Yes, he was for a while. And that's what, from there, then I took classes with him at New Albany High School.
Did you know Doris Tipton?
Yes, I met her when I met her at Wesley House before I went to the Little Loom House.
So your first introduction to weaving was at Wesley House?
It was Wesley House. And some of them at noon were leaving the Wesley House to come to Lou Tate's, and they were talking about, they took their little looms on the streetcar and about walking up that long hill. So when I saw it in the paper one day about it going to workshop for $2 at Lou Tate's, well, then I decided that I'd try the bus then, I believe it was, and I was kind of worried about finding my way up the hill, but when I transferred, well, then all on the streetcar, bus, whatever it was, trolley car, I believe it was, were going to Little Loom House. So then I walked up the hill with a whole lot of them. So I was never a stranger anymore.
When you left the Loom House and a period of 10 years went by, how did you go back to it again?
Well, they were having spinning and they were having things in the paper, and I decided that I would go out one day, and I walked up and said to Tate, I offered her a dollar for the visitor's fee. Oh, no, she didn't want that dollar. She wanted me to join the Kentucky Weavers, give her $5 for the Kentucky Weavers. And they were going to the fair, and she wanted me to help her with that. And that's when I start going back regular.
And did you give her $5 and join the Kentucky
yeah,
Weavers?
Yes, yes. Give her $5 to go out there and work for her.
But she was always, after the Kentucky Weavers had been formed, by then she formed Kentucky Weavers Junior for 12 years and old and under. And the Kentucky Weavers received a page, and I often cut stencils for them and ran them off on the mimeograph machine, a page a month. And that's what Vivian and I were assembling to into a group for the whole year.
She usually about had 12 pages a month that went into, say, like she had January, there would be about 12 pages in the January issue. Then February would have on through the year like that.
And this was in her publication?
Yes.
Named?
Kentucky Weaver.
Kentucky Weaver.
Was the name of the magazine.
Now, did you, she, so it was every month?
Mm-hmm. For what, 5 years or something like that?
I don't know how long.
4 or 5 years.
And she had a mailing list?
Yes.
She sent them all over the country, overseas and everywhere.
And did people pay a subscription to join?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. You pay, eventually paid $10 a year. Started out as $5, and then there was too much connected with it. But you see, she got all free work. I got no pay for cutting the stencils, and no pay for running the mimeograph machine. And whoever took them to the post office got no pay for their...
It was all volunteer work.
All volunteer.
It has been all along.
Mm-hmm.
Still is.
Yeah.
The Little House is still run by volunteers.
Because Tate just wanted to be a great philanthropist, and she thought everybody else should want so too. She just expected you to do it.
She did.
And she sort of put the screws to you.
She really did.
So you did it.
Some people didn't.
Oh, lots of people didn't.
A lot of people didn't.
But you returned to her, Vivian, didn't you?
Yes.
And then how much longer was it after that that she died? Say, what 10 years were you gone?
Well, the 5 or 6 years.
Well, when the children grow up, you see that.
Yeah, and the 5 or 6 years.
They had company and everything, you know, in and out, but I didn't leave home, you see, that I was home all the time because they had young people in and out all the time. And then I belonged to the Eastern Star, but I didn't go while I was in the line there because that was full time job, too.
And then she was sick for a long time before she died.
She was sick 3 years. But she had arthritis before that, didn't get around too well.
Yeah, and gave her car away. And
well, she didn't drive for quite a while before she died.
A long time.
Other people drove her.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
She'd ask you to come out. She wanted volunteers for one day a week. I know I volunteered to go out on Monday to keep the place open, but it was I usually took her places that she wanted to go to the printers and the post office and the library and places and grocery and things like that.
What do you think drove her? What do you think her ambition was to continue to do this weaving? I wonder.
She wanted to be noted as a weaver all over.
But she was a little bit afraid to share some of these things because then maybe other people would know how to do those things.
She thought everybody should work as hard as she did.
Yes.
That was her idea. If I wanted to know how to do double weave, she was going to stand over my shoulder and see that I did it correctly, but she was not going to tell me how to do it. I was going to have to figure that out for myself or get it from a book, and then she would criticize. Often, when she had a new pattern that she wanted you to do, she would tell you. You throw your thread over, or you go under, and or you put so many on the harness number one, so many on two. She'd tell you what to do, but not why.
Would some of these things be projects that would then go into the publication?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes, they all did. Mm-hmm.
We were discussing the birthday parties that would be held for people who'd taken part in the Loom House activities. In which of the three cabins would the party be held?
When the weather was bad, it would be down at the bottom house in Esta, or as we were taught to call it, the Little Loom House. And otherwise, it would be outdoors at Top House, which is why the picnic tables are there. There were 3 picnic tables, and there was the barbecue grill. And I have no idea how many pounds of beans I took to those outdoor parties.
most of the time when she had these big outdoors party would be some celebrity weaver from some other state would come, you know, visit. And then she'd throw a big party, you know, when they come and have...
In addition to the birthday parties.
Yes, that's in addition to the birthday party.
Mm-hmm. Be possibly at a different time. Now, Ann Kuiper's husband used to cook hams, or he grilled some turkeys one time.
Turkeys about 4 years ago, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. He grilled some turkeys at one time on that outside grill. We just had a lot of fun.
4 years ago, you mean right before she...
That was after she died that they had one.
Oh, you all had another gathering.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Uh-huh. I believe it's the third Sunday of the month on Sunday afternoon that we brought potluck, you know, and we had a party at 5 o'clock after everything, you know, visitors were gone. Well, then the members then had a supper. And that was about once a month in the summertime.
I wish they'd make more of Lou Tate's birthday. October the 19th is her birthday, was her birthday. And we always celebrated her birthday. We always celebrated in October, shall I say, with whoever's birthdays were coming up. But we never missed October because that was Lou Tate's birthday. And those of us who were in the habit of taking covered dishes anyway would do something special on her birthday. And you never knew what to give her because she never wanted anything. She was rather self-sufficient, and she would get by on a needle and thread if she had to. And we got to taking her sewing thread. And she'd bring her little box of sewing thread over here. And I would sew on my sewing machine the edges of material that were to be turned up. And then after my father died, my sister said, why don't you take Father's butter bowl, which is a big bowl, wooden bowl. And so I have Father's butter bowl full of colored thread that my husband and Lou Tate started giving me for birthday gifts.
And Lou Tate would...
And she'd come over because she could use my thread. Part of the time she brought her own, but not always, because she always knew that between what she brought in the sack and what I had in Father's butter bowl, we could find something that matched.
You'd find the color.
Mm-hmm. So we had a lot of fun over that. But I do wish that the foundation would make some use of her birthday.
When you went back, Vivian, you stayed after that 10
yes,
years. You didn't leave again.
No,
You stayed active. You helped keep everything clean.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The 4 years that Lou Tate was really very ill.
I was there quite a bit after she got the illness.
Yeah. And then after she died, I went to the lawyer, and I asked him what they were going to do with the loom house. He says, I don't know.
After she died?
After she had died.
You went to Earl B. Fowler.
Right.
Who was the lawyer?
No, not Mr. Fowler.
Who was another person?
Uh-huh, another person in that organization. I can't think of
it. Oh, in that law firm?
Same office.
All right, same law firm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Same law firm. And I asked what they were going to do with the loom house, and he says, I don't know. Nobody here knows anything at all about weaving. And I said, well, I have talked to a friend of mine who turned out to be Vivian. And she and I know that there's a lot of material here that was woven by the children that is just being devoured by moths and squirrels. And we would like to do something with it. Then you might be able to use the money for some reason. Tate died on June 2nd, 1979. In July, I received a letter from the lawyer saying that Lou Tate had left some money to my daughter, Martha. Would I please come to to his office and talk to him about it? So I went, and I asked him what was going to happen to the loom house. In the meantime, I had called Vivian and told her that Martha had been left this money. And we had already been to the loom house and seen how much damage was being done by things being thrown away that should have been kept. And I was quite concerned, so I asked the lawyer, what is going to happen to the loom house? He said, I don't know, because nobody here knows anything about weaving. And I said, are you just going to take everything and throw it away over the hill or burn it up or what? He said, I don't know. What would you suggest? And having already talked to Vivian, I suggested that since there were so many things there that children had woven that could be made into little purses and hot plate mats and things of that sort, that Vivian and I would go out and open the loom house. We would finish those items by finishing. Because I've already put everything out.
That's all right. This is the second part. This is the second half of my interview with Sue Kendrick and Vivian Hyatt, October 14, 1984. We're taking up with Lou Tate's death on June 2nd, 1979.
After Lou Tate died in June, I began to wonder what in the world was going to happen to the loom house. So I called Vivian, and we discussed it. And on July the 24th of 1979, we went to the lawyer, or I went to the lawyer and talked to him. And Mr. Fowler said that we could do pretty much what we wanted to at the loom house because he didn't know anything about weaving, and neither did anybody in his law firm know about weaving. So on July the 24th, 1979, Vivian and I went to the loom house and began scrubbing and cleaning up. I washed windows, and Vivian washed shelves, and we moved looms around everywhere. And the urn that had held Lou Tate's ashes was sitting in the window. And I finally told Vivian that I couldn't work with Lou Tate watching me, so I took the urn upstairs to get rid of it.
Now, I do want, though, for you all on this tape to get the credit for bringing the loom house back to life.
Okay.
If it had not been for the
two of us, the loom house would be gone.
Again.
It probably never would have opened again. But Vivian and I took things home that the students had made little purses and little hot pads and little runners and things out of them. First, though, let me say that everyone that had a name on it, we mailed back to the children. That was my money that was spent for postage, but I didn't mind because we couldn't find addresses for lots, and there were no names on just box after box of things, no names. So Vivian and I took them home, finished them, washed them, ironed them, brought them back and sold them the next day.
Yes.
Then we had to take more home.
But you not only rescued them from mothballs, but you also turned them into money to rescue and save the loom house.
That was our beginning of our bank account for the loom house, you see.
To save it.
Yes.
We sold some of the looms, and then wrote a friend of mine in Bowling Green that we were selling some, so she brought some of her friends up and they all bought looms and things. I've forgotten how much money, but it was way over $100, so we thought we had made a big sale that day.
And then we went to Colonel Sanders' birthday party up on the Belvedere. A lady called and asked me to bring my weaving and everything, and Sue and I were in it together, and then I said, well, I'm working out the loom house with Sue Kendrick. Would be all right for to bring her, you know, bring stuff from the loom house. She's, oh, great. And so then we took the stuff from the loom house, you see, and so I had five weavers and five spinners that demonstrated that day. So.
And then we sold a lot of stuff that day.
We had about $2,000, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Before
to turn
the organization
over.
Was formed, then we had a treasure, you know, to
you had
start
all,
with.
You all had earned all that money for the loom house.
from the little pieces of weaving that was left lying around, plus some of the looms.
That you cleaned and put into condition to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And all this to keep the memory of Blue Tape.
And
demonstration fees.
Yes, we have paid some for demonstrating some.
And you started the open houses again?
Yes.
Yes.
But you had it opened on a daily basis there for a while.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And then after having it on a daily basis for several weeks, while we had the first 3 days of the week was open, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then if anybody wanted to come on Sunday, why, they had to let us know. Because Vivian and I both go to church, and we don't like to spend every Sunday afternoon away from home.
And then we started teaching classes. Then we had the scouts.
You taught scouts to weave.
Yes.
At the loom house.
For 25 cents a piece.
And you two did this.
Yeah. And sometimes we would have more scouts than we had loom stands and looms. We had...
Saturday we had three bunches.
We sure did. And regular hassle.
They come all the way from LaGrange.
But this was one of Lou Tate's loves.
Oh, yes,
was the young people.
Was the children.
Before she died, she wanted me to promise that I would help carry on the children's tradition, you know.
And so you did.
Well, we told her no. Both of us turned
we
her
said
down.
No, we didn't.
But then we did it.
You ended up doing it. And maybe that's
all we...
She knew we would.
Yes.
She ended up getting what she wanted out of you all.
Yeah, after all.